For a small, open economy like Singapore, these global developments are deeply worrying. Our prosperity has depended on a stable, rules-based global order and the free flow of trade, capital, people, and ideas. As the old order frays, a new one will eventually emerge. It is likely to be more multipolar, less coordinated, and more contested. It will not be shaped by the grand designs of a single superpower, nor by a harmonious concord of all the major powers, but more by the actions and choices of many different players. And despite our limitations as a small state, we cannot afford to be a passive bystander in this evolving landscape. Instead, we must respond with agility and resolve and actively shape our own destiny. And Singapore today is not without agency. We are better resourced, more capable, more connected than we were in 1965. We have forged strong friendships around the world. The Singapore brand is well regarded, and we enjoy a deep reservoir of international goodwill. More importantly, we are not alone. There are many like-minded countries that share our commitment to an open, stable, and rules-based global system. So we can and we will deepen and expand our networks with them. And together, we can preserve the multilateral frameworks that matter and lay the groundwork now for a more stable global order that can emerge in the years ahead. And it's with that in mind that we will move forward on three key thrusts. First, we will contribute actively to the stewardship of the global commons. Because many of the world's most pressing challenges, from AI governance and climate change to future pandemics, require more global cooperation, not less. And when we say we support international law and multilateralism, we are not just hoping for the best, we are actively working to make things happen. We understand that our interests as a small state are best protected when rules apply equally to all, and we take concrete steps to uphold these rules. So Singapore has consistently played a constructive role in multilateral forums, not by grandstanding, but by building consensus and finding solutions. Most recently, our ambassador, Rina Lee, led the successful UN negotiations on the High Seas Treaty on Biodiversity, a landmark agreement that strengthens global governance over marine areas beyond national jurisdiction. It's a remarkable achievement, and it shows that despite a fraught geopolitical environment, it is still possible for the world to come together to find consensus. We have nominated Rina as a candidate to serve as a judge at the International Court of Justice. It's a reflection of our continued commitment to the rule of law in international affairs. Singapore can also serve as an incubator for practical ideas and initiatives. For example, during the COVID pandemic, we founded and co-chaired the Friends of COVID-19 Vaccines Global Access, or COVAX, facility to promote vaccine multilateralism. More recently, we launched the Financing Asia's Transition Partnership, or FASTP. This is a blended finance platform aimed at mobilizing private capital to support Asia's decarbonization. Given our developmental journey, we can also do more to support other countries' development by sharing our experience. Our approach is centered on supporting human capital development, which we believe is the fundamental ingredient for any country's success. And we do this through curated training programs and study visits to build capacity and to catalyze change. And we have been able to make an impact. Since 1992, the Singapore Cooperation Program has benefited more than 155,000 officials from over 180 countries, territories, and intergovernmental organizations. We will do more in these challenging times. And that's why we have established a new development partnership unit in MFA to coordinate efforts across government agencies in Singapore, strengthen collaborations, and focus on areas where Singapore can make a meaningful impact. We will continue to focus on Southeast Asia, which is our region, but we will also set aside more resources for partners further afield in Africa, the Middle East, Latin America, the Pacific, and the Caribbean. And we will expand our work in new domains like the digital economy and renewable energy. And through these efforts, we hope to be a responsible stakeholder that helps shape a more stable, resilient, and inclusive global environment. Second, we will champion deeper regional cohesion and integration. ASEAN remains central to Singapore's foreign policy. In a fragmented world, regional unity matters more than ever. If ASEAN can stay cohesive and proactive, it will help all 10 members navigate geopolitical tensions and maintain our collective relevance. As Mr. S. Rajaratnam once said at the founding of ASEAN, if we do not hang together, we will end up hanging separately. ASEAN's economic integration has come a long way. Combined, we are now the world's fifth largest economy, and we have managed to make the ASEAN free trade area virtually tariff-free, virtually, not yet 100%. So there's still some way to go. These gains have already benefited our citizens and businesses, but we cannot and we should not stop here. We have to accelerate our integration efforts. We should aim for 100% tariff elimination across the region and boost intra-ASEAN trade. And we should further reduce non-tariff barriers to make it easier for businesses to operate across ASEAN. We should also conclude the ASEAN Digital Economy Framework Agreement and upgrade our FTAs with key partners like China, India, and the Republic of Korea. We should also accelerate the development of the ASEAN power grid. By facilitating cross-border electricity trade, the grid will help our region to transition faster to green energy, draw in new investments, create better jobs, and strengthen our collective energy security. Beyond our immediate neighbourhood, ASEAN has over the decades built an open and inclusive regional architecture. Through forums like the East Asia Summit, we bring all the major powers to the same table and give them a stake in our region's success. Complementing the EAS, we have the ASEAN Outlook on the Indo-Pacific. This emphasizes openness, inclusivity, and cooperation. It explicitly rejects zero-sum competition or dominance by any single power. So Singapore will work with the Malaysian chair of ASEAN and our EAS partners to translate the AOIP's vision into concrete projects and initiatives. We hope this will bolster the relevance of ASEAN and the EAS. And when Singapore takes over the ASEAN chair in 2027, which will also mark ASEAN's 60th anniversary, we will use the opportunity to deepen regional integration and ensure that ASEAN remains a vital and credible anchor for peace and prosperity in Asia. Thirdly, we will strengthen our global network of partnerships. In this increasingly multipolar world, we must develop more varied and deeper relations with multiple partners, because the more connected we are, the more resilient we will be, and the better we can navigate uncertainty and withstand shocks. Economically, we are already plugged into major networks and frameworks like the CPTPP, RCEP, and an extensive network of FTAs. These give us market access and insulation against rising protectionism. But we must go further to reinforce the multilateral trading system and preserve open flows of trade and investment. Over the past week, I've spoken with counterparts from Malaysia, Japan, New Zealand, the UK, and the EU. We represent different countries across different regions, but we all agreed on one thing. The world needs more cooperation, not less. And we must not retreat into protectionism or isolationism. One idea we are pursuing is greater collaboration between the CPTPP and the EU. The UK is already in the CPTPP, and there are several economies keen to join as members. The CPTPP and the EU combined represent around 30% of the world's GDP. A formal partnership between the two entities can facilitate trade and investment flows and help to uphold the key principles of the rules-based trading system. Another idea is to strengthen the ASEAN-EU strategic partnership. The EU has been a dialogue partner since 1977. It already has FTAs with Singapore and Vietnam and is pursuing trade arrangements with other ASEAN countries. So deeper collaboration between our regions on concrete projects can help us make progress towards the eventual goal of an ASEAN-EU FTA and unlock the potential of our combined market of over 1 billion people. Beyond economic partnerships, we are deepening and expanding strategic partnerships with like-minded countries, including Australia, New Zealand, India, France, Germany, Republic of Korea, Saudi Arabia, the UK, and Vietnam. We are reaching out to new frontiers in the Middle East, Africa, and Latin America. In the Middle East, the Gulf countries are growing rapidly and positioning themselves as key geopolitical players in their own right. We have a comprehensive partnership with the UAE, and we just upgraded our relations with Saudi Arabia to a strategic partnership. We have also institutionalized dialogues with Qatar and Oman. So we will do more, not just with the Gulf countries, but also other Middle Eastern partners. And we will step up efforts to develop closer ties with Africa and Latin America. These regions are brimming with potential, but we have not fully engaged them due to distance or unfamiliarity. We now only have two diplomatic missions serving the entire continent of Africa, in Cairo and Pretoria, and only one in Latin America. This is insufficient. We will open new diplomatic missions in Africa and Latin America over the next few years. We hope this will show our friends in Africa and Latin America that Singapore is keen to do more, to trade, invest, and partner with them for mutual benefit.